And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Leaf Report. This is Clark here. Hello, everybody.
James, it's a very exciting day because we finally have actual stuff, real on-ice hockey stuff to talk about with the Toronto Maple Leafs. How are you doing?
Woo-hoo.
That was good. Yeah, that's my... Honestly, I was fired up like today just to kind of get into it. I know there's a lot of interesting feelings, I guess, around the Leafs right now, but I'm interested in this stuff. Like, I think it's going to be an interesting year.
Jonas, I played hockey for the first time on Sunday last weekend, and it was at the Leafs practice facility, my game. Mm. And there's the first game I played in almost 2 years, and I tell you, like, it was almost like euphoric getting to go back and play, and it just, I don't know, getting some things back that we lost there for a long period of time, it's felt really good. And I know we're not out of the woods entirely on all the COVID-19 related things, but it sure feels nice that something's in, and I hope for the people listening too that their lives are going back to quasi-normal.
All right, well, let's keep as little of that stuff as we can from this. Let's try to make this normal-ish because we're still not back to normal. So I was there at the first day of camp.
I was not.
So I'm going to leave the floor to you, James. I know you're curious about what went on. Maybe I can help you. What do you want to know?
Okay, so I haven't even seen who... I saw a little bit of you tweeting about this, like who was skating with who and what the lines were and D pairings and things like that. Maybe you can take us through what... and the listeners, too, who don't know, you can take us through what Sheldon Keefe was doing with his different groups today on the first day on the ice.
Okay, so I can tell you what's interesting. So the first thing I would say, James, is that a lot of this stuff, a lot of these combinations are relevant, but not totally relevant.
Well, they're looking at something, right? Like I've learned over the years with training camp,
yes,
that they're never completely irrelevant, right? Like they're trying to see some things with what they do.
And so, like, I will give you some examples. So one of the questions we had going into camp, we had thoughts, we had expectations, but we wondered like who were going to get those, which players were going to get those two spots at left wing on the top two lines. We kind of have our first answer, and the answers are Nick Ritchie, who will eventually get a chance with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, and Michael Bunting, who will play with John Tavares, and I'm expecting William Nylander. Now, that was not how things went on the first day. Obviously, Matthews is not participating in the full activities at this point. He's not even handling a puck. So Adam Brooks was in that spot with Marner and Ritchie. And then right now, Josh Hosang is getting a chance with Tavares and Bunting. So we can start there because that's obviously notable. Josh Hosang is a well-known name.
Let me interrupt just for a second. Where was Nylander? Yeah. Where was Nylander today?
Nylander was on a line with Ilya Mikheyev and Alex Kerfoot.
Do you think there's any chance that they're going for a three-line approach and that...
No. There's just not enough spots. Like the math doesn't work. Right. There's too many people. Because then you have Comp, then you have Spezza, then you have...
Right.
Like, you just, there's
and
just
you don't,
not
and
enough.
You don't want to play Spezza with Comp. Like, that doesn't really make a lot of sense.
No, I don't think so. And like, I mean, I guess we can't rule anything, but like the way I'm looking at that is Hosang is in Nylander's spot. That's the way I view it. I could be wrong. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Mm-hmm. And now maybe Mikheyev and Kerfoot will eventually play with Comp, or maybe Comp will play with Kasha. So that's Kasha was with Comp and your buddy, Nikita Gusev. Mm-hmm. He's not your buddy. I just like to tease you.
I don't know. I didn't. Nikita Gusev. That's interesting. I don't think that line's going to be staying together, but you know, they probably want to get a look at some of these PTO guys with NHL players to give them a chance to show what they can do.
Well, so that's the thing. So Hosang, like, immediately what you're saying by putting him there is we are going to give you a chance. Like, I do not expect him to make the NHL team, but we're going to give you a chance to show us something because maybe he'll sign with the Marlies. Like, maybe, who knows? Like, maybe he'll get a job with another NHL team. Like, we're going to give you a chance to show what you can do. We're not going to put you with fourth liners or AHLers. Like, we're going to put you in prime time and give you some sort of shot to see what you can give.
My prediction is Hosang is a Marley.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And a call-up option.
I would agree with that. And then, I mean, so what else do you want to know? What else did I not tell you that you're intrigued about?
So who was Spezza playing with?
Spezza was with Nick Robertson and Michael Amadio.
Amadio's a guy that's played a bunch in the NHL. Like, I wonder if some of these guys have... I mean, I guess there's just not enough spots for them to play in.
There's not enough spots, James.
But
sorry.
But, I don't know. Just, I wonder if, like, some of these guys play well, if they feel like, oh, maybe we've got room to, like, move someone out or make a trade or something like that.
See, here's the problem with I just think all these guys get waived. Like, what are any of these guys worth, to be honest? Like, you're not getting any, like, you're not, who's trading anything for a lot of these depth guys? Like, you'll just claim them on waivers or you'll claim someone else if you really need them. You know what I mean?
Yep. That makes sense.
So one guy who is sort of, I guess it's not that super interesting, but like Pierre Engvall was on what looks like a Marley line. Like, he was with Joey Anderson and Kirill Semyonov. Mm. So that's like, that's one of, like, I'm writing an observations piece for theathletic.com. Go to theathletic.com/leafreport to sign up, James.
50% off.
50% off. There you go. That says to me that Sheldon Keefe is basically saying to Engvall, amid all these other new guys coming in, like, you're going to have to, like, prove it. Like, you're going to have to earn your way onto the team. And like, you forget, like, Pierre Engvall was like on their third line in the playoffs last year. Like, now there's a chance he gets waived before the season. Like, it's actually, I would say it's probably likely, no?
That he gets waived?
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's just, many guys. Like, there's going to be injuries. So
I could see they wait, like, I could see them waiting like 10 days into the season or something. Like, their cap situation, yeah, I guess we'll see.
They can keep an extra guy. Yeah.
Yeah. They can keep an extra guy. They're not going to be on the road on a real trip for a while. They don't have to waive Engvall yet. But he's the guy, that, you know, I wrote a piece earlier in the week saying that I think that maybe there's a forward that they might have to trade. And I think it could be like Engvall for like a 6th round pick or something that they do.
Okay. So there's 2 points on that. One is obviously if you're just going to lose him on waivers, you would rather, I mean, maybe you wouldn't rather trade him because like maybe you can sneak him through. Mm-hmm. The thing with Engvall that I think is interesting, James, and it's crazy. We're like 10 minutes into the show and we're deep diving into Engvall.
That's what the show's all about, my friend.
Niche podcast.
We've already talked about Michael Amadio and we're like 7 minutes
yes.
in.
Yes. But so I think what, like, I was thinking about Engvall more than I had recently. And I was just kind of looking at like their situation moving forward. Like, Ilya Mikheyev is going to be a UFA next summer. I mean, we'll see how this season goes. But there's a chance that he's not back. You're going to need like another forward who plays, like, they don't play similar games, but like a bottom six guy who maybe can score a bit, maybe kill penalties.
I think they're similar. And like, they're big. They skate well. They're good defensively. Like,
and so Engvall is going to be a restricted free agent after this year. He's not going to cost you anything. He's controllable. Like, I mean, there's a world where you kind of want to keep a guy like that around. And there's a world, James, like where you want to keep a guy like that around for this year as just like a 13th forward. Like, he can play center. He can play the wing. Like, he's kind of just a useful guy to have around.
I don't really like waving or losing him, for sure. It's just their cap situation is so tight that they can't really keep him as the 13th forward. Like, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Well, and there's a chance, like, he's at 125. Like, there's a chance, like, that the team just doesn't claim him. I mean, that's the likelier thing.
But if you're, like, Buffalo or something, why wouldn't you just, like, he's probably, like, look at Buffalo's lineup, man. Like,
yeah. Why would, I mean, you just, we do this every year, though. Like, we assume guys will get claimed, and they just don't.
Well, the Leafs had, how many guys did the Leafs have claimed on waivers last year? VC, Boyd, Aaron.
But
Dell.
Those were not, but those were different situations. Like, those were throughout the season. Like, VC was on the team to start. Boyd was on the team to start. Like, they lost those guys later on. And that was like, didn't Vancouver have a bunch of injuries? Isn't that,
yeah,
if my memory?
Well, the best time probably to sneak someone through waivers is that last day, that last, the clear day when you got to get everyone. When you got to get under the cap the day before the season starts. So maybe they just dump a bunch of these guys on there then.
Yeah. And I mean, James, like, look at all these, there are NHL players, like we've just talked about some of them, who are on PTOs. Like, you're telling me that Alex Galchenyuk isn't better than a lot of the forwards on Buffalo or Arizona. And like, he's on a PTO. Like,
what about Cody? Isn't Cody Franzen on a PTO in Washington?
I did not see that. Is that true?
Wow. I think so. He was skating with a bunch of Washington players before camp started. I know that anyway.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
Unless it was a different Franzen. Now you have me doubting myself. Here, let me do some more research here before I start.
Well, so what interests me, James, about the early days, like this is like the first day. I think the Richie thing is going to be really interesting. He has not proven to this point to be someone who can play in that kind of role. You would think his numbers are better than they were. I think we talked about that last week. I'm not convinced like that's going to stick. Maybe it will. Maybe he'll like take advantage of this chance like he did last year in Boston. To me, like I just think eventually they're just going to trade for someone. That would be my guess.
So let's see.
But you're off on some rabbit hole about Cody Franzen.
Well, Leafs fans care.
Well, I think like they care more about Nick Ritchie right now.
The Hershey Bears signed Cody Franzen and Nick Ritchie. The Hershey Bears signed Cody Franzen to a contract, so that's why he's at Washington's camp. So he's going to be playing in the AHL in their organization.
Okay.
Nick Ritchie. How can
Did
I
you hear anything of what I said? Okay. Probably not.
Well, you just said that you're not convinced that he's a good fit on that line, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to eventually trade for someone, would be my guess. That was one of my predictions, or prognostications, as they call them. Like,
spicy.
I just think
spicy prognostications.
Spicy. I know you love when I use the word spicy.
Well, I see that some other people are starting to call you spicy now on social media, so my nickname is catching on.
Nice. Spicy. Well, there already is a spicy in Toronto, Spicy P.
Yeah, but you can be Spicy J.
Spicy J. Oh man.
I think you're right. I mean, I don't think Nick Ritchie's the perfect fit there. I think they're going to but we've said it on the podcast before. If you got Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, you know, the third guy should be able to be like an old boot that, like, you know, you can bank pucks off of or whatever. Like you shouldn't have to you shouldn't have to put like a $4 million winger with those guys.
Yeah, but if you can make your team better ahead of the deadline, like, I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
I wonder if they might add a defenseman at the trade deadline. I mean, I guess we're going to have to wait and see how the year plays out.
Well, I think that's a good point. They do feel a little vulnerable on defense just because of the younger guys that they are counting on at the bottom. But, I mean, Dermott's been in the league a while now. Sandin, like, this is the opportunity that many have wanted him to get for some time, even though he's really young. It's just like one injury and they're in some trouble.
Yep.
But that's like, I mean, that's kind of reality, right?
Yep. Okay. Are we done on the Nick Ritchie conversation? Is that the end?
Yeah.
Of it?
The only thing I would add is I would not be surprised if we also see Bunting get a chance with Matthews if the Ritchie thing doesn't stick. I think he would fit there just like he'd fit with Tavares. Mm. Well, but anyway, go ahead.
You do love Bunting.
Yeah, I'm in on the bunting.
You like bunting, team bunting when you play softball, and you like bunting when he plays for the Leafs.
Yep. Yes, guy.
So, okay. So we've been through the forward lines. What about D pairs? It looked like they were doing some interesting things there.
Well, so what they did is Sheldon Keefe said on the first day of camp, the first official day where they weren't on the ice, that he wanted to pair up some younger guys with some veteran guys. And he explained a little bit more what he was trying to do with that. He basically said he wants some of these younger defensemen to get reps against some of the Leafs' better players. So like when Muzzin, for example, was paired with Timothy Liljegren. So Muzzin's going to end up on the ice a lot against, I forget who's in his group, Tavares. So now Liljegren is going to get those reps going head-to-head with Tavares and going head-to-head with Hosang.
Well, so will they do that in preseason? Will they use those D pairs in preseason?
He made it sound like they will. And so the other pairings were, this was a one that used to be a topic of conversation, Riley with Travis Dermott, and then Rasmus Sandin with TJ Brody. And obviously, I think we actually saw Sandin with Brody at some point last year. I can't remember
Did
when.
Did we really? I don't remember that.
I think so. Maybe it was just a shift. Maybe it was someone was hurt. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
My brain is all fogged from last year.
Let's just delete that. Delete.
No, I think that happened.
I think Leafs fans would like to delete last season from memory.
Well, maybe that didn't happen. I don't know.
I don't think so.
It did. It did. Remember that stretch when Sheldon Keefe mixed up the pairings?
Oh, yeah, right. Late in the year.
No, I'm wrong.
No, that wasn't one of them, though.
Yeah, that wasn't one of them. I don't know why I have a memory of that happening. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
All right, let's move on. We're down like another bad rabbit hole here. We're a little bit rusty. We've only done one podcast in the last.
Well, and very little has actually happened.
No, it's okay. We got lots to talk about here. I wouldn't worry about that. So I like this that they're mixing up the D pairs. I think this makes a lot of sense.
Well, let me stop you. That's not like the season. We know what their D is going to look like in game one of the season. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, but so,
I do not think this is for any other reason but to get those guys some looks.
But I did say during the year last year, if they have one injury on D, we were like 75% of the way through the year. It's like they're gonna have never looked at any other pairings. Like these guys are gonna be like playing with each other for the first time. Like if you're gonna, like, let's say Justin Hall gets hurt, you know, like it probably makes sense to like experiment with Muzzin with some of the other right defensemen and see what you've got.
Well, it would make sense, Dermott, not Liljegren. But yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll give you that. I mean, that was one of the things that I don't think we saw enough of last year is just emergency situations. Now, there were, like I mentioned, those two games, I think, when Riley played with Hall and Muzzin played with Brody. That's what it was. Maybe we see more of that. What else is interesting to you from the very first day of camp? So interesting, so intriguing. Did anything catch your ear or your eye from the very first day when we had the press conferences? We heard from Kyle Dubas, we heard from Keefe, we heard from a bunch of players.
This is going to be a bad answer given that we're in the job of making things interesting and compelling, but I thought that first day was pretty boring and there wasn't really anything there that excited me all too much. I mean, I thought William Nylander needing to get vaccinated was, to me, was mildly interesting for some reason, but there wasn't a lot there that surprised me or, you know, this season's going to be interesting in terms of like media coverage and fan interest perspective, because like there's a tendency to just say, I don't know how much any of this stuff matters. Like the talking part of the season just doesn't really matter.
Okay, so here's where I will counter that, because I don't agree.
Well, you were there and I wasn't there. Like, just like trying to watch it as like a television product, it was like, okay.
Oh, no, I mean on your last point. I the first day wasn't super interesting, but like, I don't know how it can be that interesting when nothing has happened. Like, we're kind of just replaying the old hits from last year, and I understand that, but there's not so much to continue to be said about last year. You know what I mean? Like, we're in a new year, but nothing has happened in the new year. But why I think the regular season is going to be interesting is because we're going to learn about the team, and like we're going to learn about what it is that's going to set them up to have a different result or not in the playoffs. Like, I thought it was interesting. Keith mentioned that they need to instill some of the things during the regular season that will stand up in the playoffs. And he mentioned offense. And like that rung a bell for me because that was something I was thinking about heading into training camp is for 2 years in a row, offensively, once the playoffs have hit under Keefe,
yeah,
they've not been anywhere near as dangerous. And what is the reason for that? Is that do they need to do something differently? And so that's really interesting to me. Something we should discuss from the first day, and I should have brought this up sooner. I think it was really interesting that Keefe revealed, not necessarily the revelation itself, but that he's going to give the power play lead role to Spencer Carberry, the new assistant coach, basically taking the job from Manny Malhotra. Like that is really interesting. Like Carberry's never coached in the league. He's coming in fresh.
You're right. That actually is the most interesting thing that happened on the first day.
Yeah. And yeah. Like obviously the power play was a massive problem for the Leafs last year.
I wonder how they identified Carberry. Cause remember when he was hired, we were like, is he a power play guy? And we were kind of like, no, not really. Like, it doesn't really seem like it's not like the power play on his team was like outrageously good or anything like that. So I wonder how they identified him to be that role.
Well, Keith talked about that. He said like everyone he spoke with spoke very highly of him. And as Chris Johnson and I were talking about this today, as he pointed out, which is an important point, and a lot of power play is like the people that you have on your power play.
They already have the good people though, and it didn't work. So like they need a power play whisperer that can make the good people produce. Right.
Well, they need to do some different things on their power play. That's very clear. And that was
so
clear
why,
a while.
It's why just, is this car battery guy from Hershey the answer though?
I don't know.
I want to call him car battery.
Wasn't Daniel Carcillo car bomb?
Yes.
But obviously like that's one of the points about camp that's going to be interesting. They didn't do special teams on the first day. We're going to see that pretty soon, maybe even on Friday, what they do with their power play, how is it different, who is where and on what unit. And so maybe Carberry has some different ideas. It's just, it's awkward that the guy who was running it last year is still on the staff. Like you don't really see that a lot.
Except that Malhotra, like, should have a good skill set as like a defensive coach. Like he should.
No. That's not his, but that's not, no, he's working with the forwards. Like that's not his job.
Well, defensive forwards then. Like he was a really sure. good defensive forward. Like, so maybe he, yes. you know, he's not going to be teaching them how to shoot the puck or whatever, but that's why they've got like the skills coaches like Belfry and stuff there.
Yeah.
So he can teach the system to the forwards.
But so how much of what happens with the power play do you put on the head coach and how much do you put on the assistant who's running it?
I think a lot of it's on the head coach. Like everyone's trying to blame the assistant coach, but like the head coach is in all of those meetings. And like if the head coach wants to overrule the assistant coach on something, then he can.
And to me, James, without being on the inside, that's what it felt like to me last year. It felt like Keefe was
overruling.
Again, this is just feel. Yeah. That just based on what they did, that he was involved a lot. And obviously, it's his team. He should be involved a lot. But it never felt to me that they really settled on what they wanted to do with the power play last year. Like, we knew, because Sheldon Keefe told us, that Manny Malhotra really wanted to have two units. He wanted to split up the stars. He wanted a net front guy on each unit. And eventually, like, they just kept going away from that. Anytime there was trouble, they didn't stick with what they wanted to do. And I'm going to be interested to see if they will stick with what they want to do this year. Like if they have William Nylander playing a more central role, does that stick? What do they do with Mitch Marner? What do they do with John Tavares? Like, I just think obviously like that has to be fixed. Like that can't happen again. And it's happened 2 years under Keefe where they start really well and then they just completely fizzle out.
We talked about the forward lines and who was with who, and we talked about the D pairs and who was with who, but were the goalie, like what were the goalie tandems like?
Oh man, let's take a quick break and then we'll talk about the goalies. Oh baby.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, James, you wanted to know about the goalies.
I was joking.
Okay, good, because there's not very much interesting about the goalies.
I was trying to make a stupid joke about, I don't know what, goalie. Can you tell which goalies there's no intrigue with the goalies really this year in camp, other than, I mean, we want to see if Mrazek and Campbell play well, I guess.
And stay healthy.
Yeah.
That is honestly, I'm not sure if I would rank performance ahead of health with those guys. Now, maybe it should be, because like that's all that matters. But I am just as concerned, or I would be if I worked for the Leafs, about those guys staying healthy, because both guys have really struggled. And obviously, if they suffer injuries, you know what time it is, James. What time would it be?
Michael Clutchinson.
Exactly.
We need like a sound effect or something for him.
Yeah. Like a lightning bolt.
Or a siren. Michael Clutchinson.
So they just need those guys at least to stay healthy. Obviously, to be fair to Michael Hutchinson, he played really well last year. Like, you can't ask for anything more.
So Mrazek's injury last year, someone crashed him into him in the net and it broke his hand. So it's like, I have a hard time saying that.
He's had other injuries. That's not like, I'm not just basing it on one fluke. I think it was a thumb injury. He's been hurt and inconsistent throughout his career. Like, he's a huge question mark. Like, I don't know if you agree with this. I put it in one of my stories and I believe it. I think this is as much uncertainty with their goaltending as we've had in this current era. You could say last year.
Yeah. But Anderson introduced some uncertainty the last couple of years. I mean, like, there was a lot of uncertainty that year when they had to go get Campbell, right? Because, like, everything was...
But they still had Anderson, right? Like, and at that point, Anderson was still... He had his flaws and he had his questions, but, like, he was still a fairly consistent regular... Not, I shouldn't say fairly consistent, because that was not his hallmark. But at least, like, he was a top 12-ish goalie in the league. You know what I mean? And this year, I don't know what they're going to get out of either guy.
This is my 14th year around the Leafs. I think goaltending issues have been very, very common and over that time. So,
well, and the other thing that's been common is defensively. And that's why last year was...
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of flown way under the radar, and I get it. But they were a really good defensive team last year. And even if you watch, like, go back and watch some of the playoff games, they gave up very little to Montreal. Now, you could counter and say, well, Montreal doesn't really have that much firepower. But defensively, like, that part of their game actually held up in the playoffs. And again, like you mentioned, the goaltending being a problem the time you've covered the team. Defensively, like, can you remember the Leafs having a good defensive team before last year? Like,
Quinn years, because if you looked at, like, goals against, and they had their best season in terms of goals against per game since it was like 2002 or something like that.
So that's like almost 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you think back to the decors they had back then, and, like, you know, they had some good players like Yushkevich and Markov, and, you know, those teams were hard to play against and hard to score on, and they had good goaltending as well on top of that. So that's why, like, going into the playoffs, it was a real feather in the cap of Sheldon Keefe that he had done that, because that was the focus in training camp. And then, you know, I think they did fix the defensive play. I think that, you know, I think Brody was a big part of it too.
Yep. Yep. Turns out you need a lot of good defensemen to play good defensively, James.
No more hot takes, Jonas.
What else? What else is interesting to you?
Well, we've talked about the forward lines. We talked about the D pairs. We talked about
the goalies.
Talked about the goalies. Is there any other position I'm forgetting?
Do you know who's interesting to me, James, just watching the first day? Who, I mean, I don't know if I should call him a dark horse, but someone I could see playing in their top six, and you had this in a story at one point, is Kasha. Like just watching him, like he's good, he looks,
yeah, like he. Remember him in Anaheim? He's like he is a top six forward if he can get. He's only played 88 games in the last 3 years, so. But you know he's been healthy almost the whole summer, so that's, you know, he's been healthy for a couple months. He's a real wild card because if he's fully healthy in what he was in Anaheim, like I'm not even talking about the time he was in Boston. If he is what he was in Anaheim, the Leafs could have something really. That's going
to
be big.
And he looked it to me the first day. Like he just looked like he looked like a player. Like he looks like someone who could be something. And again, like it's health. And the guy, it's interesting. Like David Kampf was very impressive in Sheldon Keefe's eyes on the first day of camp. Now, again, first day of camp, like whatever.
David Kampf is well known for his physical physique. Like he is
specimen.
Yeah. Yep. He's strong.
And I'll be interested to see how they use a Kampf line this season. Obviously, we saw last year, James, like they tried to create a defensive line and it did not stick.
Was there anyone else that stood out as either good or bad? It's only one day, but...
Not really. I mean, Keith was really impressed with Sandin and you watched like... I mean, half of it was... conditioning drills. Like the way it started is Keith put them through 20 minutes of
bag skate.
Yeah, I don't think are we supposed to use that term anymore? I'm not sure.
What's wrong with that term?
It doesn't matter. Look it up. Yeah, so like the first half of it was just skating. And I gotta tell you, James, Rasmus Sandin winning a lot of those races. He looked great. Like and it's going to be a really interesting year for him because obviously he's going to get his first chance to play regularly, which he did not have last year. Like you remember the way things started last year, he had Mikko Lehtinen in his way and then he got hurt. Like it was just like a year from hell for him. And now like the pathway is open. He's going to be on one of the power play units. He's going to get to play. And he's such an important part of their future. Obviously, the Riley conversation gets connected to that. Dermott's future kind of gets connected to that. If he can be something, that's going to take them to a different point than even last year. Like you saw hints of it last year, even in the playoffs. You saw the good and bad of kind of where he's at this point.
Yeah, I think fans are down on Sandin a little bit just because of some of the mistakes he made in the playoffs, but. What you point out is like he didn't play for a huge long stretch and then he was hurt and getting in a training camp and preseason games and then the early portion of the NHL season, that's when young players get acclimatized to what the NHL is like. And Sandin didn't really get a normal introduction to the league. So he's going to get that this year. And I think that's why he potentially could surprise people.
Well, and you know what's not really easy is to play the NHL playoffs when you barely played in the NHL. And I mean, that was a bold choice from Keith that paid off and also did not pay off. Like, I don't think that they had a great year in terms of how they handled the situation with Sandin. I kind of think they got boxed in a little bit inadvertently with Mikko Lehtinen and... They signed Zach Bogosian, which I thought made sense. But anyway, that's last year. So I don't know what else is especially interesting from the first day. I'm trying to
I think we should go into our own bag skate and see what's in the pod bag.
All right, let's take a break and let's do it.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
James, it is pod bag time. You have the floor. And wait, before I get to the pod bag, a reminder to eat at your local restaurants and support your local businesses, obviously, now more than ever. That's all.
You and I both have a birthday coming up, so we're going to have to go support some restaurants for our birthday.
I've got one planned. I'm very excited. Very excited.
Yeah, I got to find like a nice restaurant.
What kind of food are you looking for?
That my kid, I like steaks and burgers and, you know, like, but like higher end if I can find it.
Okay.
But the key though, Jonas, is find a place that my kids can go to and not like lose the plot and destroy the place.
You know where you should go? And I know you've been here before, but Allen's is like some of the best burgers in Toronto.
It's probably too fancy nice for my kids. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you gotta find somewhere that has a kids menu is like a pretty good, a place that's nice but also has a kids menu. That's where you want
to
go.
Just go to the Keg then. That's not. I guess that's our local business. Anyway. All right, pod bag time. What do you got?
All right, Matthew Blackett asks, what are the expected point totals for the core four forwards this year?
That's a good question.
That's a tough question.
Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
I would say Marner and Matthews around 90, Nylander around 80, Tavares around 75.
Okay. All right. You know what's interesting? You had Marner and Matthews lower than I would. I'm going to put both of them in the 100-point club. 103 for Matthews, 101 for Marner. Tavares, I think, a little bit lower. I think 70 points. And I'll put William Nylander to have his first 75-point season. Actually, I don't even think he's at a 70-point season. So, first 70-point season.
Ooh, I put him at 80. I think Nylander will have a big year this year.
I do, too.
I do, three.
The talk around William Nylander has just completely died down after the playoffs. That's what one playoff can do. And like, that's honestly, it's a good reminder of, obviously there's a big conversation with Matthews and Marner, and Marner especially. All it takes is one playoff to change the narrative. And that's something like, I know we've heard from management, I think Kyle Dubas especially, that all it's going to take to change this narrative is for them to actually do it. And obviously we're a long way from the playoffs, but Nylander is a really good example of someone who had all these questions and then he plays really well in the playoffs and then no more questions.
I got to laugh, Jonah. The only way they can change the narrative about not performing in the playoffs is to perform in the playoffs.
It's crazy, eh? Unbelievable. Gems I'm dealing you here today. You know, I always like the saying that the Mike Babcock used to use a lot, what's true today isn't always true tomorrow. And like, shit, man, it's true. That's life.
Willie Peterson, whose handle is the Wilrus, which I guess is kind of like a walrus, maybe.
It's a pun. You love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, he's asking me. He says, you got to pick one. I say he does it. Number one, William Nylander scores 40 goals. Number two, Sandin shows he's a top PP1 defenseman with 20 power play points. Number three, Dubas trades Ilya Mikheyev midseason.
Those are good ones.
I don't think Nylander's going to have 40 goals. It would be two or three. I'm going to say Dubas trades Mikheyev midseason. I say he does it.
All right. I think that's. I think the Mikheyev situation is really interesting. obviously, the fact that he's a UFA at the end of the year is something. I don't know that's everything. Like, they're trying to win a cup. If he's one of their better forwards, he's going to stay. But, like, they could get into a situation where, let's say, Kasha plays really well and your need for him is a little bit less. Like, I just don't know what you're trading him for that makes it worth him to trade him, would be my quibble.
Yeah, maybe you decide, though, that like Nick Robertson's ready, or maybe you decide that, and you can free up $1.6 million to do something else, and I don't know. I just...
I'll go with Nylander to score 40 would be my... of those.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that is the least likely of those. 40 is a lot of goals.
He scored 31 in 68 2 years ago.
Yeah, so he's got to score like 30% more goals. All
right. Guys get hot, right? Jason Blake scored 40 goals.
We don't even know if he's going to be on the top power play unit.
He will be. There's no way.
Even though he should be.
He will be.
Don Clark has a whole bunch of questions. I'm just going to pick one. Honest prediction, the number of games Nick Robertson plays for the Leafs this year. It depends how many injuries the Leafs have, really. Like, I don't think Nick Robertson's making... I'm pretty sure that he's not going to make the team out of camp. So, if they have a run of injuries at forward, he could play more. But you want to go first? I would say like 15 games.
I would say less. I'll go under that mark. I was going to say like 5 to 10. But man, James, like just when you see him in person, that kid can shoot the puck. It's insane. Like he was firing one-timers. I think it was Christian Rubens who was feeding him. And it was just like, this is crazy. Like you're reminded again, he's so small and he hammers it. It's just like, yeah. Wow. Anyway.
Well, part of it's the stick technology, right? Like it's not... technique is a big part of being able to hammer it now. He must be super strong too for his size.
Well, he looks like he's very sturdy, like low center of gravity, strong that way.
I think in beer league, I have the highest center of gravity of anyone that's ever played.
You're like the Pierre Engvall of the beer league.
Yeah. One of my friends, I remember when Dave Steckel was on the Leafs.
Yeah, he's like,
you remind me of Dave Steckel. I was like, I'm the Dave Steckel of beer league. I don't know if that's really I'm a forward and I'm 6'5 and lanky. And
he was a smart guy too. So that fits.
Oh yeah. Anyway, we can talk more about how bad I am at hockey at some another point.
Do you think can I just ask you, do you think this is the only podcast in the world that in the same podcast mentions Dave Steckel and Cody Franzen? Probably.
And Michael Amadio. What's the most obscure player we've talked about today?
Oh, geez. Probably him.
And Spencer Carberry gets 17 mentions.
And Jason Blake as Punch, our producer, points out.
Did we mention Jason?
Oh, man.
Did we mention Jason
Blake?
Did.
Oh, yeah, because he said, well, I mean, like 40 goals a lot. And I said, well, Jason Blake scored 40 goals. Like, it happens, man. And like William Nylander is obviously in another world from that guy.
I don't know if I can pronounce this guy's name. It looks like Carles. He wants to know, a few episodes ago, James, you mentioned you played in a band. What did you play? Was it called Math Rock? It was not called Math Rock. I played with some older guys and we played a bunch of covers of like rock songs. Like we played, I don't know. We did like, it was a wide variety. There was Tom Petty. There was Green Day. There was stuff that we could play in a bar. And I remember we used to get like $700-$800 for a show and split it among five guys. And when I was in college, that was a lot of money.
That's pretty good for like a little band like yours. No,
we did pretty well. Like we had established ourselves in the city as like someone that was worth paying money for. So we played, we played Christmas parties. We played grad reunions. We played like, you know, so, but I soon realized that my career was not going to be in music though. I was in this band with these guys that were, you know, electricians and stuff like that. And, they were better than I was. So I was like, I don't think I'm going to do this for a living. Anyway,
we got to bring it back. Bring the band back.
I would love to play in a band. If anyone listening wants to start a band, I need to start a band at some point. You got to learn an instrument, Jonas.
No, it's not in me. I'm not musically gifted.
I got my guitar right here.
You don't need to play for us. Yeah, that's okay.
No, here we go.
That's no, okay. It's okay.
Oh.
Punch just cut all this out. Well, we're way off the rails. Get back to the questions, man.
Okay, here I go. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's okay. It'll be cut.
Brandon Champ wants to know, will the Leafs give Engvall an extended try at third line center to see if he can become consistent?
No,
that's not,
that ship is,
yeah,
over,
it's not gonna
now.
Happen. I don't know that Engvall, it's hard to learn center at the NHL level, and he had basically not played center at all before he came to North America. And I think what Engvall is a guy that is a good fourth liner in the NHL, and that's about it.
Well, I mean, there's a chance he's on the fourth line to start the season. Like, that's not out of the question, I don't think.
If he plays if he played with Kampf on a purely defensive line, I think that he would be effective.
Man, that line would Mikheyev, Kampf, Engvall. That would be in tough to score.
We'd call it the nothing line, like that old Sammy Paulson line that used to play for the Ducks. It was like Travis Moen and Paulson and...
I remember the redhead. What was his name? Or maybe that was... Paulson.
Paulson, Moen, and I can't remember.
Oh, Niedermeyer.
Wasn't it
Rob Niedermeyer on that line?
Yeah. It might have been, yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, there's a bunch of questions we've already answered. Outside of the big four, who do you think the Leafs are looking at taking a big step this year?
Well, obviously, Sandin. Some of the new guys. Sandin is a good one. Dermott is a good one. Like, Dermott's gonna, we haven't talked a lot about Dermott. I don't know he'll play a bunch more than he did last year, and he didn't play a lot. Like, Zach Bogosian only averaged, I think, like 15 minutes, but I would assume he'll just take Bogosian's penalty killing minutes. So that's an increase.
Who do you think plays more at even strength, Sandin or Dermott? Like, if they have to, maybe it depends on game situation, I guess.
I think it's game situation, but I would just say Sandin, just because, like, when they're trailing, Sandin's going to play, and they're going to be and the thing is, like, when they're leading, Dermott's going to play, but he's not going to play more than the other guys ahead of him. Like, he's not going to play more than Hall. He's not going to play more than Brody.
So do you think Dermott might be like, I mean, he only had 13 minutes a game last year.
I think he's like 15, right, 15
with some penalty kill in there, yeah.
Yeah, which, like, and honestly, if he can do that, like, that's something that's important. Like, they're, I believe after this year, Justin Hall would only have 1 year left, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, eventually you want him to be someone who can play in your top four and play on the right side in your top four. That would be ideal. I would add, like, in terms of guys that they want to take a step, I think Kerfoot's one. His first two seasons in Toronto have kind of been uneven.
Well,
he obviously had the really good
there
playoff.
If he ever can, like, unlock what his potential is.
Yeah, I still don't totally know what he is. Like, he's kind of like, I don't know where he fits best.
He's
like,
just a guy unless he takes another step, right? Like, he's kind of like a tweener between a second and third liner.
Yes. That's a good way to
put
it.
And he's overpaid for a third liner. And
yeah. And obviously, I think Bunting is, like, could be a steal. We'll see. But
we've already established your love for Bunting. I can tell this is going to be a theme of every podcast.
The Bunting fan club.
Oh, my God. Make it stop. There's some good ones on here. Craig wants to know, how is the group holding up in the absence of Martin Marincin? Do you think they're
Marty
gonna,
party?
Do you think they're going to be okay not having his steadying influence of sitting in the dressing room saying nothing?
Well, now they've got Biega and Dahlstrom to do that. I guess Biega.
RJ Murray wants to know, your hot take player to make the team out of training camp. Who's like some sort of dark horse that might sneak through and make it? Like, let's say there's a couple injuries. Biega?
No. Liljegren.
Amadi.
I mean, one injury on defense, and like, he's in.
Unless they like Biega.
I don't think so.
What about the Brennan?
Brennan Minnell?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, I can't remember his first name. No way, his first name is Brennan. Brennan.
I would say no at this point. Not ahead of Liljegren.
No, well, they asked for a hot take, so.
Oh, well, it's hard to have hot takes with this team because we dissect it so closely.
Liljegren's, like, not a bad choice. I mean, in order for Liljegren to be on the team, they probably need to waive Engvall to fit his salary in.
Or they have an injury.
Liljegren also has those bonuses in his contract, his entry-level deal, which most of, like, the entry-level guys the Leafs had. Like, I don't think Robertson has them. Those bonuses can cause problems for a team that's really tight on the cap. Marner is super fast and Matthews is pretty quick. Can Richie keep up on a line with them, or is he a better fit with Tavares? I mean, the debate is like, do you want to put a bunch of slow guys together, or do you want to like have like, sometimes I feel like the best lines in the NHL are guys that bring different elements.
Yeah. Do you remember who started last year with Matthews and Marner? Do you remember his foot speed?
Yeah. JT. The other JT.
Yes.
Jumbo.
And their numbers with Thornton were like, it didn't matter. Like you said before, like I think during the regular season is one thing. It doesn't matter as much. Like, they're just so good. It's more so in the playoffs that you need someone there who can be trusted and who can contribute something. Like, that was the problem with Galchenyuk. And obviously, Galchenyuk is now on a PTO. Like, you just couldn't trust him. And obviously, he burned them that one game. And he had a three-assist game, but like...
All of his, like, former coaches and teams were probably laughing because, like that... That was the concern with, like, that was always the concern with him putting him there, is that he was going to do something dumb at an inopportune moment. And he did it in such like a high profile situation.
The worst moment. Like, you couldn't pick a worse moment. Bad.
It was like, it was one of the worst plays we've seen. Like, if you did a highlight reel of the 10 worst plays a Leafs player has made in a big situation in the last 20 years, like, would that be number one?
Probably.
It's basically like putting the puck in your own net in overtime.
The Dermott one was not great either.
It was better than that, though. But
yeah. All right.
This person is named, as per my last email, Mr. Troy. I don't know what that means. Do any of the goalies stand out in terms of building for the future, or any of them being branded as such?
No.
What about,
not to this point,
like a Cahlgren or someone like that? Like, they must have brought that guy in for a reason.
Yeah, but like, they're not, that's not how they would frame it with any of those guys. And like, those guys are all wild cards at this point. And that's like obviously been a real sore spot for the organization. Like, they have not developed a goalie in a long time. And like, they haven't developed a really good goalie. I don't even know when the last time was. It's before me covering the team.
I mean Reimer is the best goalie they've developed since the cap era, I think.
Right. And he's just like, he's fine. Like, he's a nice starter, but like, that's obviously one got away at some point. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Ben Scrivens,
yeah.
He did get away. He got away all the way to Russia.
Is that where he is?
Well, no, he's retired now, but he was over playing in the KHL.
Oh.
Ray Pepe has a question for you. Disregarding health concerns, who do you guys think is the best all-around forward lineup? What would your line combos be? Multiple people asked this question, so I wasn't going to ask it originally, but every time I'm going through the list and there's a lot of those.
Best line combinations.
I would start Kasha up with Matthews and Marner if he can play left wing. That's what I would do. And then I put Richie with Tavares and Nylander. And then I would start Bunting on a lower line just to like...
How dare you?
Just like in softball, Bunting is a last resort, Jonas.
No, it's not. Not if you're good. I don't know. I mean, I kind of think the way they're doing it to start is the way to start and see what it looks like. I mean, there's a reason. Like, they signed Richie, obviously, after some of the other guys and gave him a two-year deal and $2.5 million. Like, that wasn't an accident. Like, they looked around and said, like, who's going to play in our top six? Like, we need another guy who's before, like, actually...
Didn't they sign him? He was the last guy signed, right? It was like, was it a Friday night or a Saturday? It was like...
Yeah, it was after that first day. It was a few days, I think.
Kasha was too, right? Like, they... Because after free agency, it was like, they don't have enough forwards. Like, you know, they got cap space and they don't have enough forwards. What are they going to do? And I thought maybe they were going to try and pull off a trade or do something. And then they signed both those guys.
Now, the thing I would say to counter that, James, and counter myself, is Richie has a name, but the production to this point in his career doesn't really match the name.
No, he's...
And that's the only thing.
He's like a third-line talent who... I think that he can contribute on the power play in front of the net.
Yeah. Do you remember when the big rumor was that the Leafs were going to take him in that draft?
Well...
They were not right.
Don Cherry was stumping for him the whole way along. And didn't he even said after the draft that they made a mistake taking Nylander instead of Nick Richie, right?
They definitely did. Oh, man.
So what would your third line be? Kampf with Mikheyev and...
That's the thing with Kasha. Like, so if you're not putting Kasha there, let's say you're putting Kerfoot there, or if you're putting Kasha there, where are you putting Kerfoot?
Like, yeah, maybe, I guess he'd have honestly, to be on that line. Yeah. Yeah,
but, actually. But maybe not, James. Like, maybe your fourth line is just Kerfoot, Spezza, and Simmons. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but I think if you're keeping Kerfoot at $3.5 million, you got to play more than fourth line minutes. I like the idea on the fourth line. If you can create some sort of an offensive line down there, that's kind of why I like Bunting there with Spezza. In another offensive player, like I don't know who it would be, whoever I left out. I guess Simmons you would have to play
Simmons.
There. Simmons would have to play there probably. But and just shelter the crap out of them and see if they can generate some offense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's remember, James, like Kerfoot spent some time on the fourth line last year. Like this is not, I'm not reinventing anything. This happened.
I like Kerfoot on that left wing with Tavares too, if there's a way to make that work. Maybe that makes sense. And maybe Kasha's on your third line and you see, you know, he's really tight with David Kampf, so they probably want to play together anyway. And Kasha,
and here's
Kasha's,
the thing, James, like
Kasha's a good defensive player too. So
yeah. Yeah, you see, like the first day, like he was tenacious, but all these, like, we're going to see all kinds of different combinations. I'm curious to see if we do see more Matthews, Nylander, Marner, Tavares, or if it just stays the same. I don't think it should stay the same, but who knows?
Bob Ritchie wants to know, is the pun game ready?
The pun game is dead.
I've had multiple people tell me I shouldn't do the puns this year, so people let me know on social media if other media people are telling me I should cut it out. This person's Twitter handle is Trade Riley While You Still Can. Do you want to take one guess what his question's about?
Is it? So should they trade Riley? No.
No, his question is, have they butchered the Riley situation?
No. What are the options? So you and I went through the options in the summer, and we talked about this last podcast briefly.
Well, I think what they could have done is saw what the asking price was, and if they didn't like it, they could have traded him in the summer.
Okay. And trade him for what?
Well, I don't know, Jonah. We've been through this. People can go listen to the podcast from the summer when we talked about this.
The problem is, like, you're trying to win a cup, and if you're trading Riley, you need to be getting someone back who's as good as Riley. That's hard. Like, why is another team trading you someone who's as good as Riley for Riley who's not signed, right? Like, they would have to obviously want to extend him, and then you're needing to get a player of equal value. It's like, it's not easy. And then the other choice is obviously to sign him. And I don't see how you do that given the potential price point at this point in the game. That's all I have to say on that point.
I think it's possible that they did not play the situation perfectly.
Disagree. But okay, go ahead.
Marvelous Mark asks, do you think Carberry goes with a loaded power play one or two balanced units? This is why you get the big bucks, Jonas.
I'm going to say loaded. And I think, I just think we'll see people in different positions would be my guess.
You know what? Why don't they play Matthews on both units? Like, wouldn't that make sense?
What are you going to play him? The whole power play?
I don't know. Ovechkin does it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he just stands there the whole time.
Well, come up with a path for Matthews to just stand there.
If I was doing it, James, this is what I do. I think I would have Riley on the point of the first unit. I would have Matthews on one half wall. I would have Nylander on the other half wall. I would have Marner in that bumper spot, and I would have Tavares in front of the net. I think Marner in that bumper spot could be really interesting. And like I've been thinking about this because remember they used to have Kadri in that spot, and Kadri obviously doesn't have a great shot, but Kadri scored a bunch from that spot, just kind of like shoveling shit at the net. And I could kind of see like Marner maybe not replicating that because like the focal points would be Nylander and Matthews. But he's also obviously an amazing passer, and that's like, he can kind of play traffic cop a little bit. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Otherwise I'd put Tavares and Marner on a different unit. That would be my alternative. But I think like, I believe for a while that they should get Matthews and Nylander back together from their early days in the NHL. Like, you remember how good they were together. They were dangerous. And that was like when they were younger. They're better players now.
Campo asks, What do you think are the chances that Josh Hosang or Nikita Gutsev make the opening night roster? Zero.
I don't think. not zero.
0.2%.
I'll give them better odds. I will say like 5%.
How are they going to make the roster?
I don't know. Injuries happen. Players disappoint. I don't know.
But they would need like a bunch of injuries for that, for them to make it.
That can happen. I mean, like maybe they see something they don't like from someone and your trade happens. Maybe like what would happen? Like, let's say Gusev, who started camp with Kampf and Kasha. Let's say Gusev just like looks amazing. Like he's like dynamic. He's not very big, but like he's shifty and he creates some offense. And like you're looking at him, you're like, maybe this guy can like play on, I don't know, our fourth line. Or it's just like, that's the problem for those guys. Like, where do they fit? That's the problem.
Pridham's calculator would like to know, are we finally going to see a Nylander Matthews Marner line?
I think we see that at points throughout the year. I bet we see that more than we have in the past.
Maybe like the emergency break glass line.
I just think they need to have it in their back pocket a little more than they did, because obviously when they went to that in game 6 and 7, I think they had never used it. Like rarely had they used it. The only times that they kind of play around with that sometimes is after penalty kills, but you just want to have some familiarity if those guys have to play together. Because you saw James, like they didn't look like Nylander didn't totally look comfortable there because he hadn't played there. You know what I mean? Like those are three kind of puck dominant players. So,
oh boy, someone's asking if Alex Steeves is going to make. Or they asked us to estimate the odds of all these candidates of making the starting lineup, and one of the names on the list is Alex Steeves. Alex Steeves is zero. Hard. He's not he's not in camp. He's an NCAA player that there's no room for these guys. Like there's not, like, I know you're working on a story on like the roster camp roster battles. Like there's, you know, there's NHL caliber players that aren't going to make the team.
Yes.
So like these guys, like, I don't know. That's why I don't think Robertson can make the team.
Yeah. All due respect to Alex Steeves. He will be a Marley.
This is a good question that I didn't ask you. Istanbul Leafs. There, I got cool. It. I wonder if they're from Istanbul. Oh, they are. They're from Istanbul.
Awesome.
Excellent. We will answer questions that come from Turkey and all questions that come from Turkey. He wants to know, or she wants to know the vibe. Is there hope and positivity, or is it an act? I wasn't there. What does it feel like being around the players and the personnel and everything? What's the mindset there?
It felt more relaxed than I thought. Obviously, the tensions are more to do with all the restrictions, and the restrictions have changed a little bit this year, but it's more to do with that, I felt. Like, Austin Matthews, to me, seemed very relaxed. Even, like, Riley, Kyle Dubas, even. Like, I just think, I don't know, I feel like some of last year is kind of worn off a little bit. Like the anger, it just happens with time. You know what I mean? Like it the tension you felt after that series and in the aftermath, and even like at points in the off season, I feel like now it's kind of shifted to hope for this year, which makes sense.
It's been almost 4 months, right? So
yeah.
Suki wants to know, is it unfair to assume that John Tavares can come back and be as effective as he was after that injury? I wonder about that. Like, I wonder, you know what's going to happen? I was thinking watching Tavares talk yesterday on the media day. Like, if he struggles in the first month or whatever, everyone's going to be writing that, you know, he's not the same or the injury or whatever. And
I mean, I'm not sure I'd connect the two. Because, like, the problem is, like, we saw that to start last year. He did not get off to a great start. Actually, he got off to a really good start, and then he really cooled off, and then he changed sticks, and that was all it took, James. It was only the stick, as I wrote for The Athletic. Yeah, I don't think I'd connect it to. Would you?
No, but I'm just saying the narrative is going to be there, that's what's going to happen. Is that, I mean, the reality is that John Tavares is getting older. We've seen evidence already of decline, I think, in the last...
Yeah.
Decline from being a very, very good player. Mm-hmm. It's possible that even if he didn't have that injury, that there would be more evidence of decline this year. You know, how he ages is going to be really important to the Leafs that he finds a way to kind of not be one of those players that craters at 31, 32 years old.
Well, one of the things that we don't discuss very much when we talk about like conceptual things with trades involving just basically Marner or Nylander is if you trade one of those guys, and obviously you're trading them presumably for something that includes a younger forward who's good, but like at that point, like Tavares will be even older. Like by next fall, he'll be 32. You know what I mean? Like those guys are younger and he's, I don't know. I'm not explaining myself well, but like the complicating factor is the piece that if you're going to remove one piece from that core, the piece you'd prefer to move is Tavares because of his age and because of his contract, as opposed to the two younger guys. I don't know if that made sense, but anyway.
No, but all right. But can you move Tavares?
No. I don't see how. I mean, the thing is, like, anything can happen. Like, my rule, James, is like, when they traded David Clarkson, that was kind of a reminder to me that anything can happen. Do not rule anything out.
I think I've told this story before, but I was in Boston. I was at the Sloan Analytics Conference, and it was freezing cold. It was like minus 20, and I was walking around looking for a place for dinner, and I got that email. It was like 5 o'clock on like a Friday or something. David Clarkson has been traded, and I had to like go check the email address and like make sure it wasn't like a prank email from like some random person trying to mess with me, because that's how much I didn't believe it was real.
It's crazy.
One more, is that the idea?
One more. Yeah.
Willie Bray, the Brayster, it says on his Twitter handle. Hey fellas with an S, how much should we put into the line rushes today? It's my read of social media, reading our questions, is that people are getting worked up that those line combinations are what they're going to be using in the first game of the season.
Oh, well, I better make that clear in my story.
People think that Nylander is with Kerfoot and stuff like that, and they're like concerned about it.
I think the way you probably want to look at it more is pairs. And that's kind of the way I've been analyzing it myself, is which are the pairs that could potentially stick. Are Kerfoot and Mikheyev going to be a pair? Maybe. Like that makes some sense for me. Like maybe you move those guys to separate wings and then there's Kampf and that's your line. Like that kind of thing is the way I'm looking at it. Bunting and Tavares, Richie and Marner. You know what I mean? Like you can kind of see outlines of what their lineup is going to look like, more so in terms of some of the pairs.
Yeah.
At least for me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that's it.
No one get on a ledge about what you see in the line combination. The line combinations are interesting, and I think they mean something, but you got to be careful not to take them as what's gospel. Sometimes a coach is just trying to look at some different things and some different players together.
Yes, exactly. So, James, we will get back together and do another pod next week. We're going to have some games to talk about. They play on Saturday. By the time
I'm not allowed to come. I'm bummed. The COVID restrictions mean that they're like really cutting back who's allowed in the building. So,
okay. Well, the following week they will be in Montreal. They'll be in Ottawa. And then we'll have plenty more to chew on. We'll actually have some games to look at, some tangible details to pick through. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for stuff to actually be happening.
I as well.
All right, well,
do you want me to pick the guitar up again?
No.
I could play us off?
No, you know what you can do? Once we're done and we stop recording and I've taken my headphones out, then definitely do it.
Okay.
All right, so if you haven't signed up for The Athletic, give it a shot right now. It's 50% off. You just go to theathletic.com/leafreport. We appreciate all your support. James, any parting thoughts? Oh God, he's getting the guitar. Stop the recording. Thanks, everyone.